A lot of fear here, isn't it? A lot of fear. Looking foolish in front of others. Rejection. Rejection by people, rejection by God. A lot of things to be afraid of. How many people fear rejection? How many people, when you're getting ready to go out and share the gospel with other people in public, fear rejection? A couple, one or two. Praise God. Chris, thank you so much, brother. Thank you guys for your thoughtful answers. Man, they were profound, deep stuff here. I'm impressed. That's right. Wow. There are so many things that people are afraid of. And I believe we could stand up here for hours going through the various things that we're afraid of. I think that we could get in a car with a couple of us and add some other things that we're afraid of. As we go through the day, discover different things we're afraid of. And Luke is back there pointing to his brother. Yeah, his brother's afraid of getting in the car with certain people too. But you know, the Bible tells us that there are two fears that we as Christians should be concerned about. If we are Christians, if we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and had our sins washed away completely by the blood of Jesus so that we stand by the grace of God in perfect righteousness before Him, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done. If we are Christians, the Bible says there are two fears that we ought to be concerned about. Does anybody guess what those fears are? One of them we should always maintain and be sure that we have, this first fear. The second fear we should be diligent that we never have, because it's so easy to fall into this fear. One of these fears God wants us to have, one of these fears God does not want us to have. If we nurture the first fear, we will never struggle with the second fear. In fact, I heard one man say that he doesn't have a problem with the second fear because he knows all about the first fear. Who can tell me what two fears I'm talking about? Debbie? The fear of God. The fear of God, number one. Dennis, number two. The fear of man. The Bible says we should be concerned about the fear of God and about the fear of man. One we should always strive to maintain, one we should diligently abandon and rid ourselves of. In fact, it says in Psalms 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's not the morbid fear like you're scared he's going to jump out from around the corner or it comes in the way of your relationship with him. It is to see God in all of the august majesty and power that he truly is. To know that he is God and there is no one like him. That he is from everlasting to everlasting, the self-existent, self-sufficient I am that I am. And everything is as dust before him. And that fear of the Lord is the beginning, the foundation of wisdom. True wisdom finds its basis in the healthy fear of God. And number two, Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare. Now, when he's talking about a snare there, he's not talking about like a snare drum. That would be nice. Maybe. The fear of man brings a snare. By a snare, he means a dangerous trap, like a bear trap or a net or a spiked pit, something that will hurt you. Something that is hidden and will hurt you. You've seen movies where people are walking along in the woods and suddenly a net flies up in the air and they go flying up with it. That is a snare. It's a trap. The fear of man brings a dangerous entrapment to us. Amen? Now, for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about this very thing, about the fear of man, particularly the fear of rejection by man. When we are living our life for Jesus Christ, walking the way we ought to walk, doing what we ought to do, and shunning those things we ought to shun, oftentimes in the back of our mind, there is a fear of what others will think about us if we truly make up our mind to follow Christ. If we dare to go out and share the gospel of God's free grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we are oftentimes afraid of what people will say about us. Particularly if we say that it is that grace of God through Jesus Christ that saves us from a well-deserved eternity in hell. That we are all under the condemnation of the law. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. By our own performance, none of us qualifies, but by His great, amazing, immense love and grace through Jesus Christ, He gives us the offer of eternal life, purchased by the blood of Jesus, if we will simply have faith in Him, to repent of sin and put our faith in Christ. Amazing that we would be afraid of what people say when we go out to share that. I mean, that's the greatest news I've ever heard in my life. Why should I be afraid? But we fear, man, we fear rejection by man. And we were talking about the last couple of weeks is when our self-worth, our sense of identity and value, when it becomes tied to other people's opinions about us, particularly when we're sharing the gospel, we feel like if they reject Christ, they've rejected us. When our sense of self-worth is linked and tied to what other people think about us, then when other people reject us, we begin to reject ourselves. And we begin to believe what people say about us rather than what God says about us. We begin to embrace the lie that Satan enslaves us with through fear rather than embracing the truth that God has given to set us free. God wants to set us free. How many people know that God's truth is here to set you free so that you can be liberated, so you can have joy in your life, so that you can walk in the peace that passes understanding and an unshakable faith that the God of the universe who holds all things in His hands knows and loves and sees you. Praise God. Amen? We want to embrace the truth of God that sets us free and not the lies of the enemy that ensnare and enslave us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone, that's you, raise your hand and say, that's me. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In Christ, I have a new nature, a new heart, a new identity. I have a new motivation in my life. I have a new empowerment through the Holy Spirit. I have a new citizenship. I'm registered with the firstborn in heaven. My name is in the book of life. I have a new destiny. I have a new reason to live. I have a new relationship with the Father who loves me unconditionally and has loved me from all eternity past and will continue to love me faithfully for all eternity to come. I am a new creature in Christ. And I should not let the things people think about me or say about me determine my own sense of self-worth or identity. I get that from God and God alone. Praise God. It's what my daddy says about me. Don't even be stepping to me with your foolishness and lies, man. My daddy said he loves me. Amen. Man. Don't even come against my daddy. Praise God. 2 weeks ago, we've been looking at this for a couple weeks. 2 weeks ago, we said that Jesus was rejected by His own hometown. His own family and friends where He grew up, when He went there, they rejected Him. But we also saw that He did not let that alter His own sense of identity. He knew who He was. And their rejection of Him, their comments about Him, did not alter for one second who He knew He was. His daddy, His father told Him who He was when He was being baptized by John the Baptist. The Bible says that a voice came from the heavens. Some people thought it was thunder. And it said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then He anointed Him with the Holy Spirit and power as a seal of His sonship. That's why when he was out in the desert being tempted by the devil said, if you're the Son of God, he couldn't have nothing in Christ. Christ already been told by the Father, you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Do you know that the Holy Spirit in you is a seal of your sonship in Christ? It is God saying to you, you are my beloved child in whom I take great pleasure. Here is my Holy Spirit to live inside of you and fill your heart with my pleasure in you. It's our seal of sonship. We said last week that when Jesus sent out his 12 disciples to minister and preach, he said not to let the rejection of people have any effect on them. He said if people rejected you, you're supposed to do what? Dance, that's right. Shake the dust off your feet. Shake, shake, shake. Lift up your left leg. Shake, shake, shake. And then leap for joy. Just shake the dust off. Shake the dust off. And we had some folks up here dancing and carrying on. It was awesome, man. We should celebrate. Because that means the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon us. So we ought not let anything, any rejection, any fear of man shape our opinion or identity of ourselves. Only let God tell you who you are in Christ. Amen? Well, today, as we kind of wrap up this sub-series, as we continue our study, we're going to look at the Gospel of Mark again. We're going to see a man who was literally enslaved by his fear of the opinions of other people. Literally enslaved by the fear of other people's opinions. His life was so dominated by fear that he wound up murdering a prophet of God and ultimately destroying his own soul. Aren't you glad you came? Doesn't that sound exciting? Boy, it's so uplifting. I can't wait to hear that. That's just going to make my day. But we can learn from his mistakes. Here's a man who had everything. The world was his oyster, and yet because of his fear of other people's opinions, he wound up destroying his own soul. We can learn from his mistakes, and we can see by contrast the fearlessness of the prophet who really became his downfall. All right, Mark chapter 6, starting at verse 14. Here's what happened. Now King Herod heard of him meaning Jesus. Jesus was out here doing all these miracles. And King Herod heard of him, for his name had become well known. And he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead. And therefore these powers are at work in him. Others said, it's Elijah. And others said, it's the prophet, or like one of the prophets. But when Herod heard, he said, this is John, whom I beheaded. He's been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For he had married her. For John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Therefore Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him.